Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
No, he uses it or loses it here. He's got like days left to use this stuff.
Wait till she uses some of that smarts that he passed down on him.
Well, you know that his like insane recall is limited mainly to sports, and that he pretty much like pleads ignorance on regular matters. So unless he applies
smart way to go
raising her like it's a sport, she'll be like, "Dad, you said no. Dad, you said I could do this. Did I?" And he'll give in every time.
Well, instead of a sitter, it's just here's an NBA game from 1984.
Oh, no. I was going to say from 1984, yes. Here, Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem. It's legendary, 1983. No, he'll put on YouTube. He'll be like, "All right, honey, this is just week 6, Steelers 83. They're playing whoever. It's not even a good game, but just watch it."
Larry okay. Bird. There'll be a test at the end of the day.
Okay, Dad. This is Eli Manning. He doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, but he'll go there anyway. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, by the way. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit him, southhillskia.net. Jeff Hathorn, as you can tell, is in here. He'll have the North Shore Tavern leadoff show for you in about an hour and 40 minutes. I'll start with the Pirates, Jeff. I mean,
yeah.
Because I want to cover a lot of ground today, but I am oddly optimistic. I know you take these games and you try to see the bigger picture, but I take a little 5-game sample here. They're only 3-2, partly owing to bad bullpen work from Chapman, but partly owing to they got silenced offensively in 2 straight games, but 38 runs in these 5 games, and suddenly guys not named Rowdy Tellez are starting to hit too, or Brian Reynolds. I'm seeing like a little more from Sawinski here. That's starting to make me wonder if they might have turned a corner.
Wasn't it funny, though, in each of those huge outings, those double-digit games, it was Brian Reynolds that kind of got them going.
Oh, and he's lighting the torch every game for them.
Reynolds
for sure.
Gets them going, and then Joey Bart. I mean, in the 6th inning, they had one hit. Mm-hmm. Reynolds has another hit. That accounts for all of their hits, his. Tellez. I think Hayes had a hit.
Hayes, yeah.
And then Bart, boom, and the game
And then Sawinski has that good 2-strike at bat where he works the count all the way and then rattles one through, and then, Bart. I was surprised Greg Brown called it so early on the TV side. Block sounded more uncertain of himself, but that was a laser beam. About Bart, would you get that bat into the lineup more and more? I mean, they seem to have this weird thing where they still want Grandal out there, but he, to me, has not been good enough defensively.
If Henry Davis starts hitting with consistency in AAA, and they decide it's time to call him up, is there any doubt that you release Grandal?
You have to. Is there any doubt? I would say yes, because I think that there's still this idea that he'll show a closer version of himself to, 2022 Grandal, and that he handles the staff well. But you know what? I could go back. I pointed to that Chapman game where he blew the lead that they got late. Grandal drops a 3rd strike that would have potentially changed the outcome of that game completely.
Now, the narrative on Joey Bart is he got called up too soon. They had an injury in San Francisco. He got called up before he was ready, and it's kind of altered this first-round pick's
second
career.
Overall pick, yeah.
Right. And they think that they may have found something here. Maybe they can unlock something with Joey Bart, and they want to be patient with him. I can't imagine any scenario where they DFA him because, somebody will pick him up, but I think they feel like they lucked into something that maybe next year, depending on what Davis is, a guy who could work platoon with Rodriguez.
I was going to say, Endy's going to be back next year. Davis might end up just forced out to a different spot on the field. I mean, I will say this about Bart. One thing that appears very evident about him, he has that which can't be taught, which is just real raw power. That Grand Slam was he was fully extended, they would call it, so they'd say there's a lot of torque on that ball, but it's not like he got that one all the way, but he got it plenty good enough, admittedly, in that sort of hitter paradise to get it out, you know, comfortably.
And I think this about the Pirates overall. I'm in the camp of this is 2012, or this is when I was a kid, like 1988 or 89, when you saw some things, you knew they were better. They weren't good enough to get over the top. That's what I think about this team. They're better. There's more talent there. They've got guys locked up, but they're not there yet. They're not ready yet. They're not a postseason team. I am all for selling a farm system when they're ready. This isn't the year to sell a farm system unless you bring in someone you have control with for three, 4 years.
How about
years.
Taylor Ward?
Taylor Ward's intriguing. I'm not going to sell the farm for Taylor Ward.
I don't think you'd have to, because I know he's got control, but he's also 30, so I don't think he's as attractive as a guy in his mid-20s who's already 3 years into his career.
And I trust Ice's source. The only thing is, there's an ambiguity there of they're in on him, but how many other teams are in on him? And the return that I saw, I don't buy. I just think there'll be other teams. I think Philly's interested from some of the chatter that I saw.
Rich get richer?
Well, you would think that they probably have more to offer because they want to win right now this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they feel like they need a piece, they're probably going to overpay for that piece. So that's my only concern about that is when I see, you know, people get these grandiose ideas, and it happens every trade deadline, that you can push your crap onto another general manager and they'll have no idea what they're getting.
Tabata and Brad Lincoln from Mike Trout, who says no? Back in the day, the old Tabata would get floated in every deal once people here were sick of him.
And at times they have
star level players.
And listen, at times they have pushed crap for J.A. Happ, or people like that that have come in and made an impact, and they didn't give up much for. But most times, you know, you're going to have to at least bargain with other teams. And I don't see anything happen. I mean, maybe it will happen before the Milwaukee series. But to what Charrington was saying, I think he's right with other teams. I mean, their focus is getting this draft right and a feeling that, hey, we've got time. Now, unless you offer something that's outrageous and the team goes, oh, yeah, this is what we wanted anyway.
Jeff Hathorne is brought to you by Gutter Helmet. No more clogged gutters, no more overflows, no more ladders. Gutter Helmet, 888-5-HELMET. Before I ask you about O'Neal Cruz, just your thoughts on that situation. I know he was doing some running drills today. Have you... And you've been doing this job for a long time, Jeff. You've seen a lot of guys come through town. You're citing things like the 88, 89 Pirates. Can you remember somebody having an arc, like a one-person sort of arc with a city, like Rowdy Tellez has had? Public enemy number one for 2 months easily in this city. Now they're chanting his name, and he legitimately looks like their second-best offensive player right now. And has been their best offensive player when he's played since basically June 1st.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody that I'm just forgetting that is, because there have been guys.
Because guys
that have
stunk, but not guys who put themselves out there the way he did with the Bednar stuff and really got under people's skin.
And was just, I mean, at one point he was the worst first baseman in baseball. And I don't think there was any doubt about
on
that.
On May 31st, his OPS was, I think, 460 at a power position. It's gone up 250 points since then.
It's insane.
And he now is like a vibe where you can tell the mood around him in that dugout everywhere has changed. Now he's the guy rubbing his belly as he's hitting bombs, and they're feeding off of it. And I guess the reason I'm bringing him up is I've seen guys stink here and then have good, you know, June, July, August. Adam LaRoche was famous for it. But nobody hated Adam LaRoche because he was unassuming. I don't think I can remember a guy going from you are a real villain that people just want to see gone to his at-bats feel like appointment viewing because it actually feels like something fun's going to happen.
And I do think that part happens more in right now in this time than it did in the past. Meaning, like, Bailey Falter's not going to get booed opening day probably 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It just probably is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rowdy probably doesn't get as many boos 20 years ago as he does now, but, you know... He did what he did. He stunk. And now it's almost like the fan base has taken the ride with him.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, credit to him. I mean, he was, I don't know how close he was to being released, but you have to know that those conversations were happening.
I think they had to be close. Yeah, they stuck with him, but they had to, at that point, I think you've got to be losing patience. I'll give him credit. I didn't like what he said with Bednar. I ripped him for it, but he was pretty accountable to his own failures, and now I think he's been sort of understated about the fact that he's ripping the cover off the ball.
And you bring that up with Bednar. I want to bring up one point. I've probably done this before, but because I was in the room that day, it's not like there's a perception that he went into the back room and drugged Bednar out with his arm around him to get him to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Bednar was standing there ready to talk to us, and Telez comes out of nowhere and kind of busts through the little media scrum and then put his arm around him and said all that stuff. So I don't want people to think, oh, you know, he grabbed Bednar. Bednar wasn't going to talk. He wasn't going to. No, he was standing there ready to own up for the fact that he was booed, that he had stunk, and he was going to take it. And, you know, Rowdy comes over.
O'Neal Cruz, you think day-to-day type of thing with him? What sense are you getting about
if
that?
If there's any doubt, why would you play him until after the All-Star break?
Because he's a good hitter and you want to try to stack a couple more wins in a still very crowded All-Star
but
race?
With a hamstring,
or DH him?
If he aggravates that hamstring to a larger extent and you're going to be without him for weeks, then any chance you have is gone anyway.
So you're saying don't expect him?
I'm saying they're going to be...
Kid gloves are coming out?
The phrase they love to use right now is abundance of caution.
Hmm.
I would expect an abundance of caution today, although, like you said, he was running and... they know the importance. I would say this, DH him.
Well, that's what I just said. Like, you could DH him there, and if he's swinging for the fences, you can trot and not hurt that hamstring.
I mean, we've seen other guys, like, not run down to first base if there's an obvious ground ball. Like, don't push it. And you know, if you get in a situation in the eighth inning and he's the winning run, well, then bring somebody else
pinch
in to
run
pinch
him.
Run for him.
Jeff, be listening to the North Shore Tavern leadoff show in 90 minutes.
Quick note, I was at Oakmont today to name drop. And Devin G, the pro,
mm-hmm.
he was asked, what do you think people would shoot on a day like this with this kind of wind at Oakmont? And he did that. He kind of chuckled and said, it wouldn't be pretty.
And Devin's I met him when I got to go out there, which was a cool thing. And you know, I had a couple light beers in me. So I was, hello, hey, how you doing? But he was a very understated guy. For him to just kind of do that little snort chuckle, that tells you all you need to know.
It was a great question. I forget who asked it, but he did that, and he's just like you? 120.
I mean, Devin's a pro, but I bet he would probably tell you he's struggling to break 80 in this wind.
One thing I will tell you, they are going to do everything in their power to not have a winner under par.
Oh, I know that. I saw that clip, Jeff. He said, we love the little story about slowing down the greens because it's actually true. And he's like, there would be days out there we couldn't have an event with the greens running the way that they are.
Yeah, they have some new tees, some new pin placements.
I already played them, Jeff. I checked them out.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, no, I'm very excited for it.
By the way,
it.
Do you know where Taylor Ward is from? Originally.
I do. He's from Dayton, Ohio.
Good night.
Jeff Hathorn, North Shore Tavern leadoff show, 90 minutes away.